hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today on Abounding Grace on this Tuesday session. And if you were with us yesterday, you remember that we began a study looking at and opening up Romans chapter 6, and we're going to get to that today. But I prefaced that yesterday by outlining a bit one of the dynamics that has happened in the church at large, where we, in overreaction to legalism today, where we had a lot of fundamentalistic churches who were giving a lot of don'ts that the Bible never gave and set stumbling blocks in front of people, producing a joyless Christianity that today produced. That was the reason why we have the whole movement of Joel Osteen's, Joyce Meyer's, and these sort of people who are creating new systems of laws for us. And that's what I wanted to say yesterday. We've gone from old legalism to new neo-nomianism. That's new law. New neo, which is law, nomianism. And what we looked at is that wanting to be free from legalism, we have compounded now and put together a whole new system of laws. And if you're thinking, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Ridding ourselves of the legalism, we've created steps now, a step system. Here's how to have your best life now. Here's how to do these things. Here's the 7 steps to the ways of true happiness to have the best life. Here's the freedom. Just love. Just do. New system of laws. And the point, as I made yesterday, is to say any form of doing is not gospel. It's not, it's law. And law never saves. It's only the gospel that is freeing. And for some reason, we never seem to go from law to gospel. We never seem to get to the good news as the driving principle of our life. We never seem to want to preach Christ and Him crucified as the answer. As Paul said, of course, he would do nothing else, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Instead, we've turned it into moral therapy sessions. Well, today I want to look at what did Paul outline for us under the inspiration of the Spirit in Romans chapter 6 to show us what this new life is all about. Well, the first thing we looked at yesterday is that he said you have to understand what has happened to us. The first 10 verses of Romans chapter 6 have been historically taught as the section on the Christian sanctification. But the first 10 verses tell us to do nothing, which is really important to see. The first imperative, which is the command, comes in verse 11 of Romans chapter 6. And so what the apostle wants us to see here is that God has already done everything in Christ, in the gospel, necessary to save the Christian and bring us into this right relationship and right standing before Him. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And so it's as if He really wants you to think, Christian, about what's happened to you. And this is where Christianity begins in the mind. I often hear today, well, we just got to get to the heart. You know, you don't get to the heart without going through the mind. Sure, it shouldn't just stay in the mind. It should go to the heart. But you can't get to the heart without going through the mind. So this is so important for us as Christians, because often these things seem so distant to us in these doctrines of the Christian faith. But Paul says today before us in Romans chapter 6, before you're going to make any progress of holiness in this life, and before we even should press people to holiness and newness and just getting out there, as we often hear, we have to know what has happened. We have to have the knowledge of the gospel fill our minds. He explains this today by having us consider what the great doctrine is of being in union with Jesus. In verse 5 of Romans chapter 6, he says this, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death." Now, we'll just stop there. Such an important section. The word for united means to become one with, to grow together with. And so the apostle says is that what has happened to you with you in Christ is that you've become one with Christ. Jesus spoke very clearly of this union. It was a vital union between the vine and the branches. Remember, the vine gives life to the branches and they are joined together so that the branches cannot live without the vine. Jesus said very plainly in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, Paul is really having us think about the implications of being in union with Jesus. It was totally a work of God, he says, planting you into Christ. And he never did it when you had it together enough. That's the glories of the gospel. Gospel's good news. He never looked down from heaven and said, ah, there's a sinner who really deserves it. He deserves to be united to Jesus. No, God did it in Christ. And Paul had already said that back in chapter 5, when we were reconciled to God in the death of Christ. So then, way back in AD 30, when Christ offered up vehement tears and cries, paying for our sins, the reconciliation, he says, was accomplished. So now, being joined with Christ, what's the first thing that's happened to you? He says, if we've been united together in the likeness of his death. So stop. We were united in his death. Now, think about the implications of such a thing. Whatever then Christ went through for the Christian, that has happened to you. That's how close this doctrine of the union is. What Jesus is saying here, planted together as one. This is what the Father sees. When he saw his Son hanging from the cross and then crying out, "It is finished." We are so united to him that whatever happened to him happened to us. We're speaking specifically of the Christian. So in verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives, he now lives to God. So if Christ died to sin once for all, we died to sin once for all. If the life that he lives, he now lives to God, the life that we now live, we live to God. So what's the great implication of this? Well, he says in verse 6, the old man was crucified with him. Now, the word crucified here in verse 6 is what we call an aorist tense in the Greek. What he's saying there is that it happened in the past. So when he died, our old man was crucified with him. Now, do you know what he's saying? It's done, God says. Here's what I've done for you. Here's gospel. You don't have to do anything in terms of your old man. I killed it for you in Christ. I killed that old man. God is saying to you today, if you are a believer, you no longer have to worry about that old man. He has been put away forever in Christ's death, in the death of death, in the death of Christ. In other words, your old life is done with. And that is why the whole notion of verse 1 of Romans chapter 6 is impossible. Can we go on sinning that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who have died, aorist tense there again, past, how shall we who have died to sin, live any longer in it? So he's saying, look, it's absolutely impossible to go on living a life of perpetual sin if you are a believer, because your old man died. You died when Christ died. The old man was put to death when Christ died. This is so important for us to get. Who is the old man? Well, it's the old unregenerate self, still dead in trespasses and sins, who lives totally apart from what it means to have a new life. And you know people like this. You go to talk to them and they have no light of the gospel in them, and they are in slavery to their sin. I mean, just turn on the news. Why do you think Dr. Phil makes so much money? Paul is saying for the Christian, the old self, old man died. It was completely destroyed by Christ's death as a Christian. I mean, that's what Galatians 5:24 says. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. God is saying to you today, the old self is totally crucified, so there can never be such a thing as a Christian who has not died to sin. That's how united we are to Christ. The old man is dead. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, if that's not enough, he says, the second great thing that's happened to you is that you've been raised, verse 5 of Romans 6. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly also we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So because Christ was raised, we are promised a future resurrection. But really the focus here is this. He's saying you've already right now been raised to a new spiritual life in him. That means that right now there's power for you to live in the newness of life. That's what the Holy Spirit is constantly working in you. Paul said that to the Philippians, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I've already attained or already imperfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of for me. So spiritually I'm raised. And you know how many of us can look back at our past and remember the time when we had no interest in the Word of God? The Bible meant nothing to us. Church was boring. We never had any interest in serving God. Witnessing to others about Christ was of no importance. We were totally self-centered. And as we look back now as Christians, we can't believe how we continued in some of those very bad sins for a long period of time with no concern and no care. Just mere indulgence and lusts of the flesh. You know what you were? Dead. The old man controlled you. But one day your heart was opened, you became conscious of sin, you felt the great burden of it, you heard the gospel, you believed, you were justified by faith, and you died. Because Christ's death, you died to your sin, and being united to him, you realized that when he died, you died, and being united to him, when he rose, you rose. We'll consider tomorrow the continuation of this body of sin that's still present. But the old man that controls that body of sin, keeping somebody in slavery, is totally gone. Christ has freed you. And you shall know the truth, says Jesus, and the truth shall set you free. That new life is the design of freedom that the gospel brings, not new sets of laws, but the gospel. Do you know that gospel today? Look to Christ as the only way of true freedom.
This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We thank you for joining us. As always, it's a real privilege and a delight spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments of any kind, or maybe even a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or write to us, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. Or you can visit our website and drop us an email at lindenurc.com. In fact, we have a lot of information there, including directions if you would like to join us for worship. lindenurc.com. Now, if you're writing to us using U.S. Mail, you can do so at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, that also serves as our place of worship. If you'd like to join us, again, you're more than welcome. The offer is always open to you. Call us at 360-318-0429 for directions, or simply, again, go to our website, lindenurc.com, for those directions. And then we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.